was just praying about things that trip us up. Thank you for that. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our time of worship here at Desborough Baptist Church. I say a warm welcome. It's a little bit chillier than we were hoping it was going to be in here this morning. But I think with our warm worship, we'll warm the place up. And a big warm welcome to everyone on Zoom this morning. We're glad you can join us. I've got a couple of notices for you. The first one is that we have a church meeting, a members' church meeting on the 15th, Wednesday the 15th. So if you're a church member, please remember to come along for 7:30, where we will be discussing the Lord's plans for us in 2025. And I, for one, am really excited about that, because when I look back over 2024, it's been wonderful. And so I'm really excited to see what God wants to plan for us to do for 2025. However, I do have some slightly sad news for you, in that a member of the church, Diana Woolston, has unfortunately passed away. And our condolences and our prayers will be with the family as they come to terms with, but also perhaps celebrate, a life in Christ. We know that Diane will be with the Lord now, and that is something for us to rejoice in, as well as also perhaps to lend our prayers to the family, because it is difficult when we lose loved ones, isn't it? But at least we know where we've lost a loved one to. And if none of you don't know, Diane leaves a little legacy here, because these little banners that we have, they're up there, they look little, but they're huge. They were something that she made. So, and that got me to thinking about the legacy that previous members, all the hard work and the effort and the time and the service in love to the Lord, that other people that have gone before us have left. We're here because of their obedience to the calling to the Lord Jesus. And I think that's a wonderful thing for us to remember and to celebrate. So, let us begin our time of worship by bowing our heads in prayer to the Lord. Most merciful God, we gather here in the name of Jesus, your Son, who died for us, redeeming us and inviting us to the heavenly kingdom. Today we've come to worship you with all our hearts, all of our being. We've come to worship in the Spirit as your children, Lord. So enable us to encounter you today through your Spirit, that we might grow stronger, closer, and more devoted to you. Bless our time of worship, and may all that we do this morning be honoring and glorifying to you, Jesus, because in your name we are here. Amen. I wanted to start this morning with this verse of Scripture, 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. How wonderful is that? God is love. Well, we are going to begin a series. We were supposed to start last Sunday, but things conspired against us, unfortunately, and we weren't able to. But we are going to begin a series looking at spiritual gifts. And obviously, the plan was to start last week with Nick, but he was unwell, and so were others. And so we've had to juggle things around a little bit, but I'm sure that that won't make a difference. We would have started last week with love, because love is the very character and nature of God. And from God's love, all good things flow. And so we have the fruits of the Spirit. Here they are. And Paul writes this list in his letter to the Galatian church. Spiritually empowered gifts. Love comes first, because without love, none of the other gifts make any sense. It is that supernatural love that comes from God that gives all the other gifts meaning, gives the other gifts purpose, and it gives the other gifts power. Now, Nick is still going to speak to us about love, but what we've done is we've moved it to the next cafe church, which is in March. That's right, isn't it? Beginning of March. So we're certainly not going to leave God's love out of it. Would be crazy, wouldn't it? We're not going to do that. But this morning, I shall be focusing on the second spiritual gift that's listed, and that is joy. So what we have behind me, of course, is our spiritual fruits. And of course, the first one would be love. And then I'm hoping behind here is the second one. Yay! So we will turn these over week by week. And so that we will build a picture. Now, if you think this looks like a tree, it isn't. It's an arrow. Why? Because all of these things come from above. They come from heaven. They're not earthly things. These supernatural spiritual gifts come from God himself. They are not an influence from the outside. They are supernatural gifts beyond reach without the love of God that only comes through the personal relationship that we are invited to have with Jesus. And because Jesus does everything for a purpose, all of these gifts glorify God. They are not an influence from outside. They are a transforming power that comes from within, through the Holy Spirit being at home within the believer's heart. The Bible says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. I like this sentence. I really do. And his love is brought to full expression in us. Wow. So therefore, these fruits of the Spirit are gifts that show that the world show the world the power and the presence of God through his love. And Jesus chooses you because Jesus wants to partner with you. He wants to share the love of God with you. That's how precious we are to Jesus. And I say, do you know how precious you are to Jesus? Sounds like an obvious thing sometimes. But do you know, really know, how precious you are to Jesus? Beyond any words I think that I could use to describe that. How precious? Precious enough for him to die to rescue us so that you would not be separated from the love of God. The Bible tells us that to know and experience that kind of love is to be filled with an inexpressible joy. Yes. And joy, that is, a joy that is deeper and more powerful than any kind of suffering, any kind of sadness that this world can inflict upon us. It's this joy that I want to focus on today. But just bear in mind that all of these gifts are empowered by God's love. However, I'm going to turn this back over until Nick has talked about it in greater depth in a few weeks' time. So, the music group are going to come up now, and we're going to spend some time giving thanks to God, praising God, rejoicing in his goodness through the medium of songs. You can sing, you can stand, you can wave your arms in the air, you can dance if you like. It doesn't matter how you engage in rejoicing and worshipping God through the medium of song, other than you do it from the heart. So let's enjoy together as we sing a few songs. The first one is Come People of the Risen King, because that's who we are, aren't we? We're people of the Risen King.
Shifting shadows of the end.
Father God, we do lift our voices up to you and we rejoice because we know that you are in control. In a chaotic world, Lord, full of awful things, we can turn to you and know that you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We know that you've already won the victory over this world. And so we'll sing of the victory and the hope of the world. You are the Savior that is risen. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lift up our voices and lift up our praise.
Lift up your voices and lift up your praise. Join with the heavens, declaring the wonders of his faithfulness forever. Sing out the victory, the hope of the world. The Savior has risen, the Spirit has come to bring us into the world forever. Oh, we are the people of God with the freedom, the hope in our hearts, our greatest, the love of the Father. Lifted from darkness and into the light, the sons and the daughters are loved and advised. Our God has made us new forever. This is love, this is love. And when the Father calls us home, and we see him on the throne, hear the voices sing as one. This is love, this is love. Oh, we are the people of God with the freedom of hope.
Those kinds of words, because Lord, you know, when we sing about your goodness and we sing about your praise, it's because we want to experience those things in our lives, and we do experience your presence, Father God. And so we ask that you fill us up today and send us out into a broken and crooked world that would so need your light to shine, Father God. Let us sing, all our days I'll sing this song of gladness.
Sing this song of mine.
Please be seated, everyone. Our young people are now going to go and enjoy their time together in the Sunday social if they want to leave. Have we got Sunday social this morning? Ah, I can see. So many of them sit upstairs that you guys don't get to see so much of them, but I can see them up there all going off to enjoy their Sunday social time. Let's pray for them as they go, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the young people that we now have in this church, Lord. What a blessing they are to us and to you, Lord. Give us and the leaders that are up there in Sunday Social the wisdom and all that they need to be able to shape those young minds, Lord, so that they learn to know you, to know your nature, Lord, to know about your love and to know what you did for them, Lord Jesus, and to know how precious they are to you, Lord Jesus. We pray for them. We ask your blessing upon them. Protect them, because we know there is a big bad world out there, Lord, that wants to steal them away from you. So, Lord, we lift them up to you and ask for your blessing upon them in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, I'm going to read our Bible passage this morning, and I'm going to start. We're in Galatians 5. Verses 13 to 26, and this is Paul talking about Christian living, and it's in this passage that we have the fruits of the Spirit. For you have been called to live in freedom. Does that sound like a good idea to you? I like that. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. And so the next section is where Paul talks about living by the Spirit. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation of the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension and division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. And I pray that as we look at this passage, and perhaps we'll be looking at it over the coming weeks, maybe you can follow it yourselves at home, that God will open up our eyes to what he needs us to know and understand about his written word. But before we talk about that a little more, Maxine is going to come and share a time of prayers of intercession with us.
Well, good morning, everyone. Let's enter this prayer time with joy in our hearts. And we're going to find that a bit of a struggle, given how cold it is. Slightly warmer in here. Just before we start this prayer, I just want to give a couple of small notices. One of them is Warm Space this Tuesday and next Tuesday are closed in this building. But on the 14th, which is next Tuesday, we're going to do a one-off in Revive. And also the prayer meeting. So the prayer meeting on Tuesday morning is going to be closed for the 14th and the 21st. So all of you prayer warriors, if you could get praying at home, that would be awesome for us. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we know and trust in you, and you are present here in our hearts. As we pray this morning, I'm going to add a pause in that allows each of you to pray what's on your heart today, your personal things, just praying them in your heart. Holy and perfect Father God, Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit, we choose a relationship with you. Today we start afresh. We come seeking you. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor and the majesty, for everything in heaven and on earth belongs to you. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Father God, you are the true source of our joy. Hear our hearts as we pause now and we worship your holy name in our hearts. Father God, guide us as we walk alongside each other in challenging times. Help us understand that your joy comes from a relationship with you. Paul tells us in Romans 5, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Strengthen us, Father God, today as we face problems and trials. Hear us as we pause now and hand each situation to you in the trials of our personal lives. in the trials in our church family as we urgently look for two more deacons and a treasurer. In the trials in our community and the world, we lift what's on our hearts today about the world and our community, Lord. Lord Jesus, in our own suffering, you call us to pick up our cross and follow you, to love one another as you have loved us. In Philippians 4, it says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord." I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Father, we sit here in a warm church, and we remember all the blessings in our lives that you have provided. We thank you for all your goodness and your great provision. We pause and we thank you for the blessings in our personal lives. We thank you for the blessings in our from our church family to each of us. And we thank you for the blessings from our community and the world, Lord. Father, we come right now and we repent all our wrongdoing, of those we have offended or hurt, those we have ignored, those we are no longer friends with. We know to experience you in fullness, we need to be honest and confess all of this within us. In Psalm 32, David says, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those who record the Lord, whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty." Thank you, Father God, that we can come and ask for your forgiveness for our sins. We think of those particularly in our relationships, Lord, with you. We ask that you forgive us for our sins in our personal relationships and our personal friendships, Lord. Heavenly Father, what a comfort to read of the prophets of old who, despite the difficulties and dangers that they were called to face, we are able to rejoice in the Lord and trust your never-failing faithfulness. I pray that, like them, I too may receive your abiding joy and discover, like them, that the joy of the Lord is my strength, and that the peace that comes from you is an abiding peace that enables me to overcome all difficulties in life in the power of your Holy Spirit. So fill my heart with your abiding joy, so that I may rejoice in life's circumstances, in periods of plenty, and during those seasons when I have very little, in times of hardship, as well as those times of great need and joy. Thank you that I am your child and you are my Father and Sovereign Lord. May my heart rejoice in all good times and in bad. May your abiding joy and perfect peace find residence in my heart as I rest in your love and trust in your unfailing goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're going to sing again. Jesus is Lord, creation voice proclaims it, for by his power each tree and flower was planned and made. Let's stand and sing together. Please be seated. Somewhat ironic that last time I spoke to you before Christmas in Advent, what did I speak about? Now he's testing you. Come on then. Anybody remember? Joy. It was. And do you know what? Nick and I never planned it this way. It's just how it worked out. So I've come to the conclusion that clearly Jesus had more that he wanted me to say about joy. Must have been, isn't it? Well, before we can dive in, of course, to joy specifically, let's just take a few moments to look first at the fruits of the Spirit overall and look what Paul is trying to teach us in this passage. He talks about freedom. Freedom from compulsion to sin, a freedom that allows us and enables us to love one another. Therefore, sin becomes a stumbling block between Christians in our effort to love each other and to serve one another. Pete, is this mic cutting in and out, or is it me? Is it? Do you want to change it to that one? Right, is that better? Well, let's try anyway. Jesus said to his disciples this, "A new command I give to you, to love one another as I loved you." He goes on to say that the world will know that you are his disciples, disciples of Jesus, that is, by the way in which you love each other. How will we achieve this? Well, it won't be by our own efforts, but by living by the Spirit, Paul tells us. And of course, in the passage we read earlier on this morning, we're told that God's love makes home in us, dwells within us. Paul paints a picture of a battle going on between the world and its influences from the outside and this power of the Spirit living within you, living within the believer, wanting to influence you, wanting to transform you from the inside out. So we have the battle between the world and its external influences on you and the battle that comes from having the Spirit of God within you that wants to transform you. The world wants to influence you from the outside, and the power of God wants to transform you from the inside. Each one of us is in this personal battle. So the question is,
here come feedback on that one.
Oh, are you right? Oh, crumbs, here we go. So the question I was going to ask you is, how are you getting on in that battle?
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So is that okay? Is that you can hear me? And we thought tech was supposed to be an advantage, didn't we, eh? But do you know, this morning when we came in, it was so cold in here that the keys on the keyboard froze, and they stuck down when David played them, and we sort of all looked at him and went, oh dear. Yeah. Are you picking me up? Right, great stuff. I will continue. So, where was I? Right. So the world wants to influence you from the outside, and the power of God wants to transform you from the inside. Each one of us is in this personal battle. So the question is, how's it going? How do you know how well it's going? Who's winning the battle? Are you being transformed from the inside out, or is the influence of the world transforming you from the outside in? This passage is classic Paul writing. He writes a list of God-given supernatural characteristics so that we can examine ourselves and get a truthful image of where we are in that battle. But it's important that we understand that it's not your battle. It's not our battle to win. It's important that we understand because you can't win that battle on your own. It is a battle that Jesus needs to win for you. And as such, he intends to arm you. He intends to enable you to win that battle. And so, when he sent the Spirit, his Spirit, into the world, we called him Wonderful Counselor earlier on in the song. When he sends his Spirit into the world to make a home within the believer's heart, he did so for a purpose. There was a reason for it. And as we look at these spiritual gifts, joy in particular this morning, but all of the gifts, they're there for a reason. And the second fruit that we're looking at this morning, joy, it's an interesting fruit, isn't it? It's different to all the others. This particular joy that we're thinking about must not be mistaken for some kind of happiness or contentment. Everything's all right with me because everything's going fine at the moment. It's not that kind of joy. But it is a really good indicator of where we are within the battle. As I say, that joy is different from the other spiritual gifts because joy is an emotion, isn't it? And the others, happiness, gentleness, self-control or so on, are other human character traits. But joy is still a gift. The joy we're talking about comes from God through knowing Jesus, experiencing Jesus, trusting in Jesus, having faith. It is not my success at trying to be a good Christian. It's not my efforts that will bring me joy. And I praise the Lord for that, because if it was down to my efforts, I don't think I'd have a great deal of joy. No. You see, I find that trying to be a good Christian sometimes is quite overwhelming. Ever had that feeling? You're trying to do the right thing, you're trying to be the right kind of person, you're trying to not get angry or annoyed. I mean, I could basically quote a list of all the opposites of the fruit of the Spirit here, couldn't I? Love, patience, kindness, self-control, you know. But it's a constant fight. Sometimes I just don't do too well. Well, I thank God that because it's not my best efforts that he requires, he had a plan, and it didn't require my best efforts. When I experience pain and suffering, and I experience the influences of the world that come at me from every direction, my best efforts to be a Christian are weak, and they are no match for Satan's fallen world. But the joy of the Lord that we are talking about this morning is a gift. It is a gift from Jesus. It's a result of his success. I'm going to say that again. It is a result of his success in battling the world and defeating sin. Joy is not a result of me trying to be obedient and follow the rules. Good, because then I wouldn't have much joy because I'm rubbish at following the rules. Joy is a gift. If it was something that was as a result of my obedience, then joy wouldn't be a gift anymore, would it? It would be some form of compensation for me having been, or some kind of payment for me having been obedient. And it's not. Paul's very clear that these are gifts. They are an act of grace, a blessing that we have not earned, that we cannot claim, and that we have no right to. It's a gift I haven't earned. And one of the things we know about Jesus and his character is, because the scriptures are full of it, is that Jesus himself is full of grace. And he loves to bless us, don't he, as his people? We call ourselves children of God. He loves to pour out his blessing from us. He loves just loving us. He loves to just keep giving to us. We know that Jesus loves to equip us with everything that we need to endure this world, to survive. Not just to survive, though, is it? To flourish as his children. But that's what a good parent does, doesn't they? Don't they? As a parent, if you see your child struggling, if you see your child in crisis, you don't wait to be asked. You're there, aren't you? You dive right in to support them, to help them, to pick them up. And if you need to carry them, you'll pick up your child and you'll carry them in their moments of distress. And that's what Jesus loves to do. That's what his love compels him to do. No, you see, the joy we're talking about this morning is independent of everything else that is not God. The Bible teaches us that when God gives you a gift, it's for a purpose. It's for a reason. Paul paints a picture that these gifts are essential for living together in Christian fellowship. Jesus said that we will look different, that the world will know that we are his disciples by the way that we love each other. What Paul is doing is examining how Jesus is going to transform sinful people into something that reflects and glorifies God's kingdom. It's bringing the reality of God's love into the world in a way in which we can connect with. People can see it. That's the idea. So what is my role then as the believer? What am I meant to be doing if it's not something I can grasp or claim or have any right to? If it's the battle that Jesus is the one that needs to fight it, what am I meant to do as a believer? What I'm called to is to be in partnership with Christ. With his Spirit living within me, what must we do? To promote the growth of these gifts within ourselves, but also to promote the growth within each other. That's what we do as fellowship. We build each other up. We help protect each other, encourage each other to keep going when times are tough. Jesus himself said, "The kingdom of heaven has come near." So these gifts not only promote something personal within you, these gifts also create a community, a fellowship of believers that has a purpose, a power, a strength. The German theologian Dietrich von Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, talks about Christian community, Christian fellowship, only being successful when Christians together fix their focus on Jesus. He highlights the friction, the feuds, the disputes that Christians have with each other as coming from moments when Christians begin to have relationships with each other in the absence of Jesus. It's a really strange kind of way of thinking about this. But he talks about a harmony within Christian community which is driven by a single-mindedness in Christ. Let me give you an example to help make this a little bit easier to understand. So as we welcomed in the new year, did any of you see the celebrations they do with, I mean, we all know about the fireworks, but did you see the celebrations with the drones? The drones that they send up into the air, and they've all got flashing lights all over them, haven't they? And these drones fly up, hundreds and hundreds of them into the air, and they all move around, and then the lights come on and off, and what's created is this amazing, spectacular animation by these drones all flying around, all in harmony with one another, with the lights coming on and off, and what is given off is this spectacular sight. Well, these drones, they don't communicate with one another. And there's thousands of them. They don't communicate with each other. They all receive their communication and their instructions from a single source. And it's that single source that keeps them in harmony. It prevents them from crashing into each other. It turns the lights on and off just at the right moment. And the result is spectacular. Bonhoeffer's picture of Christians living is the same. All Christians taking our instructions from Jesus, being transformed from the inside out by Jesus, having a relationship with one another through Jesus. Now, can you imagine, just for a moment, just imagine a community, a fellowship of believers, as Paul describes, being as perfect harmony. Now, what Paul says is directed by the Spirit. Can you imagine a community of or a fellowship all being perfectly directed by Jesus? Perfect synchronization. It would be just as spectacular as those drones, if not more so. And as Jesus said, show the world that you are his disciples by the way in which the world sees us love one another. The Bible says that's how love comes to full expression in us. We will simply shine God's love, and to achieve that, God gives us these supernatural gifts. Therefore, as Christians, our focus must always be on cultivating the relationship with Jesus first and then submitting to the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in each one of our hearts and minds and lives. You just know there's a but coming, don't you? Yeah? There is a but coming. This is all very idyllic, isn't it? But we're just broken, aren't we? The world has done a number on each one of us. At some point, you will have been disappointed, disillusioned. At some point, you will have been hurt. Your trust fails and falls over. Your faith struggles. The very space where the Spirit wants to cultivate these gifts is already full. It's filled with something else. It's full of our sin, isn't it? It's full of worldly influences that have persuaded us to seek out a life that is nice, that is comfortable, that is free from suffering, that is free from pain and free from struggle, because we don't enjoy those things. And the world tells us that we should run as far as we can from those things. The world wants to sell you nice. It wants to tempt you with comfort and temporary contentment. It encourages our flesh to seek out its pleasures and desires and turn your attention away from the never-ending love of God. See the battle. We're back to the battle, aren't we, that's going on. And you're the prize. Jesus tells us in the Bible that he did not come to give us an easy life. In fact, he said, if you want to follow me, you better count the cost first. For if anyone who wants to follow me will need to pick up their cross and carry it. When the world hurts us and damages us, when we hurt ourselves, when we let sin rule in our lives, we end up with scars. And it's not easy sometimes to face the hard stuff that Jesus needs us to face in order to bring about the transformation of these fruits in our lives, because there are hurdles in the way. The Spirit will lead you to uncomfortable places when you submit to Him. Places where we have to face our sin and let Jesus deal with it for us. Because Jesus wants to take our sin and our hurt and our pain and our shame, and He wants to nail it up on the cross there with Him. He wants you to be free from sin. But the Bible never promised freedom from the consequence of sin. And you know, the worst thing is that we're not free from the consequence of other people's sin either. So when people come along and we've done nothing wrong and they hurt us, we're left with their consequence. That's why forgiveness is so difficult, isn't it? Because it hurts. But the Spirit wants to cultivate spiritual gifts within us. And to do that, we're going to have to face some tough stuff. When people disappoint us, especially if it's a Christian brother or sister, we become disillusioned. The temptation is to seek comfortable solutions. Better still, it's easier to sort of ignore it and to hope it goes away. From these kinds of temptations, there are brands, I would call it, of counterfeit Christianity that have come about, that teach that we should embrace worldly success because it's a blessing from God. Worldly wealth is God's way of rewarding obedience, that you can have some kind of blend between worldly comfort and a relationship with Jesus. Many of the big American mega churches are filled with what we call prosperity gospel. The more you give this church, the more God will give back to you. What a load of rubbish. The Bible doesn't teach anything like that kind of thing. Paul's very clear. The world and Jesus stand in opposition to each other, and the world leads to sin and destruction and an eternal separation from Jesus. And this is where joy comes in, because joy is an immensely powerful emotion that motivates us. The joy of the Lord Jesus prepares you for action. It compels you. Do you remember in the story before Christmas, we see the shepherds? They finally realize their hope is realized because the Messiah has been born, and they're filled with joy. And then what do? They run around Jerusalem like lunatics, telling anybody and everyone that will listen to them, the Messiah has come. Yes, we're going to be free. It's fantastic. They're compelled into action because that's what joy does. Joy compels you to shine the love of God through all of these other gifts. The gift of joy has power. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's in the book of Nehemiah. Now, what were Nehemiah and the Israelites doing at the time? Well, Ezra, the priest, and Nehemiah gathered all the people together. And what did they do? They started reading from the Bible, from the scriptures. The people needed to get themselves centered, fixed and focused back in God. And they spent all day doing it, and singing and worshipping and praying. They rerouted themselves and fixed their eyes on God. And then Nehemiah declares, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." There is power in that joy then. Immense power. This is why joy of the Lord is your strength. It's why we must remain focused on that joy, and we must resist the lie that the world's pleasures are something to pursue or embrace alongside your faith in God. There's no kind of foot in each camp here. We are either going to be fixed and taking all of our direction from the Holy Spirit, or we're going to be facing the world. And you just kind of have a choice. But the joy of the Lord is strength to resist the influence of the world, strength to resist your personal pain, strength to resist your anguish, strength to stay focused on Jesus, strength to remember the promises in Scripture, to reject the world and all its fatal influences. Excuse me. I know that the world damages people so deeply that there are some wounds that feel like they cannot be healed. I know there'll be people in this building this morning who have experienced that kind of depth of wound. The world is cruel. People can be vile. Sometimes we even feel that way about ourselves because of our moral failings. Sometimes we feel that they're beyond healing. We can punish ourselves relentlessly for our failures and we can be left feeling that Jesus probably doesn't want anything to do with me because I'm just not good enough. I'm just too bad. I'm just too damaged. Perhaps you've experienced a moment where you thought, hey, joy, well, that's something that good people experience, but I don't really feel it. But I want you to know this morning that no matter what your present circumstances, whatever your painful memories are, whatever your emotional hurts are, whatever your moral failings are, whatever your internal struggle is, joy is available and it is a gift that Jesus longs to give you. I'm going to finish with a quote from Dr. Larry Crabb, a Christian counselor and one of my favorite authors. He says this: there is joy, there is hope, there is more in a relationship with Jesus than we've ever imagined. Press on, he's coming soon. But until then, remember that real change, joyful change, is possible if you're willing to start from the inside out. Struggling is an internal pain that just seems impossible to heal. The best advice that I can give you is to find good Christian brothers and sisters to sit and share, to pray over it, and to give it to Jesus. Healing can sometimes take many years, but it's only when we let go and let Jesus change from the inside out that we can be set free from the pain that others have done to us. Real change, that's not achieved by me. It's through Christ in me. To experience the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, so immense, so wonderful, so powerful, that's what Jesus wants for you. That anything that you are going through, have been through, anything that you are enduring, the joy of the Lord Jesus is greater. I hope that you can know that in your own hearts. And as we look more at the other fruits of the Spirit, we'll see how Jesus wants to create a community of his children living together, showing the world there is hope. Hope in Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing our last hymn. If Brian wants to come and play, please. What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. Thanks, Brian. Father God, may your joy enable us, empower us, and excite us, Lord, over the coming week. May it bring us into a place of submission and assurance and hope that you are in control of our lives, Lord. Help us to submit to you and let you transform us from the inside out. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.